Hello everyone and welcome to the first episode of Text to Technology. In today's episode, we will be looking at the development of the screen reader, how text-to-speech software is being used in the world today, and its implications for literacy and education, specifically for language learners. You may be familiar with Alexa or Siri, Google Translate, Microsoft's Immersive Reader, audiobooks, or applications like Speechify. All of these share a common feature of converting text to speech. In his book, Text to Speech Synthesis, Paul Taylor describes text to speech as the process of converting written text into speech, and it complements other language technologies such as speech recognition and machine translation. Unlike playing back recorded messages, the idea of text to speech is to speak any written input, whether or not the message was originally recorded. Taylor explains that the goal of developing text-to-speech software is to build a system that is capable of clearly getting the message across and doing so in a natural human-like voice. When you think of synthetic or computer-generated speech, what or who comes to mind? In mainstream media, Professor Stephen Hawking has become an unintended advocate for assistive technology including speech synthesis. While text-to-speech systems have a variety of applications for both disabled and able-bodied users, their first real use was in reading systems for the blind or people with visual impairments. In Part 1, we will be diving into the historical development of text-to-speech software in screen readers and the advancements in technology.
Part 1, Historical Development.
So how did text-to-speech software come about? Before digital technologies, visually impaired individuals relied on Braille, a tactile system of reading developed in 1824. About 100 years later in 1934, the Riadfan talking book was invented, which were books recorded on tape, similar to the audiobooks we have now. In 1936, Bell Labs invented the first electronic speech synthesizer called VOTR, short for Voice Operation Demonstrator. Then in 1975, Ray Kurzweil created the first optical character recognition software which could be used on any of the typical material used in publishing and applied it to building the reading machine for the blind. Shortly after, Jim Thatcher, in 1986, created the first screen reader at IBM. In 1996, Productivity Works created a browser that translated text into speech called PW WebSpeak. Then in 2000, Microsoft Windows 2000 was released with the ability to translate text to speech. Since then, many advancements have been made in incorporating screen readers with personal computers, such as JAWS. JAWS stands for Job Access with Speech, and it is used to identify elements displayed on the screen and repeat the information back to the user via speech or Braille output. With the rise of smartphones and tablets in the last few decades, screen readers are incorporated into mobile devices as well, including TalkBack on Android and VoiceOver on Apple devices. Especially in modern mobile devices, these features are already built into the system. It has become a norm in our culture to have accessibility built into technology rather than segregating it as an optional feature for those with disability. How did this change come about? In Part 2, we will discuss cultural development and mainstream adoption of screen readers and text-to-speech technology.
Part 2, Cultural Development and Mainstream Adoption.
How was accessibility in technology incorporated in our culture? For the United States, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990. The Act states civil rights protection to individuals with disabilities similar to those provided to individuals based on race, color, sex, national origin, age, and religion. It guarantees equal opportunity for individuals with disabilities, including telecommunications. In 1999, the World Wide Web Consortium, also known as W3C, released Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. Similarly, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the Canadian Human Rights Act also support equality for people with disabilities in Canada. In 2019, the Accessible Canada Act came into effect with a goal to make Canada barrier-free by 2040. This involves identifying, removing, and preventing barriers in priority areas including information and communication technologies. Our law, and hopefully our culture as well, is shifting to address ableism in our society, which is a set of beliefs and practices that value and favor able-bodied people, resulting in barriers to participation. When we view disability through the medical model, it is seen as a deficit or abnormality that needs to be fixed on an individual level. In contrast, the social model of disability views disability as a result of the interaction between individuals with disabilities and a society that creates barriers to their participation. This model emphasizes the need to remove these barriers and create environments that accommodate everyone. Accessibility, therefore, is not about fixing the individual but about changing society to be more inclusive, seeing disability as a natural and valuable aspect of human diversity. In the context of technology, barriers to participation are a limitation of technology and processes, not because of a person's disability. When text-to-speech systems were first introduced, they sounded very mechanical. In his book, Text-to-Speech Synthesis, Paul Taylor states that the mainstream adoption of text-to-speech has been severely limited by its quality. People's reaction, apart from users with disability who did not have much choice, was not particularly positive. People were amused and impressed initially, but the interest was not sustained once the novelty wore off. More recently, there have been considerable advances in the quality of text-to-speech that has become more commonly used in many applications, as we have mentioned at the start of this podcast. So how does this affect literacy and education? In Part 3, we will consider the implications of text-to-speech software, especially for language learners.
Part 3, Implications of Text-to-Speech Software.
In her article, Screen Readers on Touchscreen Device, Katie Sherwin mentions that listening to screen readers significantly increases the user's cognitive load, for the user must pay attention as the text is being spoken to figure out what is on the page and whether or not it is actionable. The screen reader, unlike a visual web page, often presents information in a strict sequential order which forces users to patiently listen until they come across what is relevant to them instead of directly selecting the element they are after. She also mentions that if you miss something, you can't glance back like in text, to recall information. When you are listening to a screen reader, users hold a lot of information in their short-term memory as the information is being read out loud. In the context of language learning, text-to-speech systems such as Immersive Reader and Speechify are often accompanied by visual text, allowing the user to read and listen at the same time. The user is also able to choose pace and voice for reading, with an option to pause at any point. Microsoft's Immersive Reader, for example, serves users from various cultural and linguistic backgrounds through its translation services along with a pictorial dictionary. The quality of text-to-speech technology has come a long way since it was first introduced. The users can choose a specific accent such as British or American, and can choose the voice based on gender and style. Recent advancements in AI and machine learning are focusing on personalized user experiences and more natural-sounding speech synthesis. Such tools not only help language learners but also support diverse learners, including those with dyslexia, ADHD, and other reading challenges, to remove barriers to participation for all abilities. And that is it for this week's episode for Text to Technology. Hope you enjoyed learning about the development of the screen reader, how text-to-speech software is being used in the world today, and its implications for literacy and education, specifically for language learners. Thank you for your time and stay tuned for next episode. This episode was brought to you by Text-to-Speech Technology.